Our ending talk is on spiritual progress. As we said, Mr. Judge, of course, along with Damodar Mavlankar, both of them were called the victorious disciples. And if we have to reflect upon or understand discipleship, it cannot be done unless we have some idea of what is spiritual life. Today, spirituality is understood by different people in different way, and especially when it comes to spiritual progress, it is even more difficult really to define or understand whether we are progressing or regressing. So first of all, we need to see that what is the life that we lead? Ordinary people lead ordinary life. And it is not as if we are leading an immoral life. We are, now and then, as we understand, are struggling to inculcate some moral virtues, try to get rid of some things which are negative in our nature, anger, untruthfulness, or dishonesty, in small ways. But when we seriously study theosophy, books like Light on the Path, Through the Gates of Gold, these are mystical books. And there we come to know that it is not the sporadic effort, half-hearted effort, this is what we generally make. So long as I'm not inconvenienced, I will speak the truth. So long as I'm not inconvenienced, I will try to remain calm. But if I'm inconvenienced, when it matters the most for my family, I don't mind now and then making money by unfair means and whatnot. Can I say I'm leading a spiritual life? Not really. So then that spiritual life itself is a very first step. Sometime, somewhere, it should strike us that I want to be different from the general run of humanity. That sometime I'm going to make this determination and a choice, come what may. Some aspect of me I am going to really work on. And that, in a way, cannot be done unless, first of all, we have cultivated this habit of self-examination. Sri B.P. Wadia writes humorously that you may be a chirping happy sparrow or you may be an angry tiger, but you can't make spiritual progress unless and until you take up self-examination every day. So the self-examination is not something which is impossible. We hear about so many kinds of meditations, and theosophy recommends self-examination. Either you get up first thing in the morning or you are going to sleep, and the last thing before going to sleep you do is just go over what happened during the day, including your thoughts, your emotions, your reactions or responses, and how you felt when certain events had taken place and what not. If, very honestly, calling your higher nature or God within as witness, if we evaluate, we will know, where do I need to work? For one person, it may be irritability. For another person, it may be that temptation to tell a lie, white lie. For third person, it may be gossip. A lot of gossip I do during the day. We each one have to find out and work on it and be very serious about it. So the self-examination will show my weak spots, but they will also show that after making determination, how far have I progressed? Am I the same, or at least three times I could hold myself from gossiping, or three times I held myself from being irritable? This is how we make a humble beginning. But we keep at the back of the mind that spiritual life is a very vast term. And sooner or later, side by side with attacking my negativities, I also need to work on something which the world calls as legitimate things and legitimate desires. Who will say that you should not be ambitious? Who will say that you should not work for name, fame, power, position, wealth, or to get someone's love, or to try and love somebody else, that you should not have great attachment for your friends and your family members? Nobody will say no. These are legitimate things. And yet when it comes to leading what we call genuine spiritual life, we will have to work on all of these things. We will have to give up the desire for name, fame, position, power, all of them, including the desire to love and to be loved. There is something else. A great impersonality has to come about. And today, there are personality development classes. People try to groom their personality in such a way that they can make an impression on another person and so on. You can make an impression on another person by changing yourself inwardly. We do not have to cultivate personality, is what the spiritual life tells us. And we really learn that and appreciate when we start taking the steps. So, this is another thing. And the third thing is, we need to now very seriously consider our attitude towards pleasure and pain. Pleasure-loving society, whether it is India, whether it is America, whether it is Europe, we are all pleasure-loving people. And we want to maximize our pleasures. And once again, those two mystical books will say, we are all the time trying to exchange pain for pleasure. What should I do that I can escape this pain and all the time be happy? Get this pleasure, get that pleasure. So then, what shall I do about it? And here again, we are told that the inner attitude is very important. No one is saying that the spiritual life is the life of a stoic. No pleasures. Of course not. Enjoy all that life gives. But what should be the attitude is important. And here it is recommended that sooner or later we cultivate drashta bhav. Hindu philosophy, lots of the new age gurus who teach meditation, one of the meditations they teach you is preksha dhyan. All the time that you are meditating or doing something, one aspect of you is completely involved, but another aspect is just watching. And only then you become aware of what is happening. This has to be cultivated. Otherwise, what happens? When there is pleasure, we are so much given over to it, we are merged into it. And therefore, when that pleasure is gone, we feel very sad. We hanker after it. We want to repeat that experience. And therefore, sooner or later, we will have to have this. No one is saying, don't enjoy. Enjoy. If your karma happens to be such that one pleasure after the other comes, please do enjoy, but also be a drashta. And then what can happen here is that when we become drashta, we find that now this is the pleasure I've enjoyed. And I also find that I'm someone who wants what he wants. If I want to go for a movie, means I want to go for a movie. And if I don't get the tickets, I'll buy in black. But this pleasure, I can't allow to go. So I'm ready to do anything. I can ready to harm another. At another's cost and another's pleasure also, I can take pleasure. Then this next step could be, if we are a drashta, we will see this. And the next step we will take is that now onwards, if I cannot get by taking unfair means or depriving another person, I will let go of the pleasure. This is a very good change which comes in us. And then the third step could be that we now find that somehow I watched. The pleasures are short-lived. It's a real awakening. You see your pleasures, we are given over to it, and then sometimes if you really sit down and see, how many days before we were saying, so-and-so's party, we are going to have a really bang as it were, and preparations are made and so many days, like that it's over. It's done. Marriage, my daughter's marriage, for months on end, preparations are made, it's gone. So there's something which now we have to wake up to. As Lord Buddha says, life which he prize is a long drawn agony. Only its pains abide. Its pleasures are as birds which light and fly. Now it was, now it's gone. And pain seems to continue. It abides. If we grasp this, then comes a very happy change over a long period. Hopefully this will come and we will say, if they are there, I will enjoy the pleasure. But if it so happens that I don't have any of these coveted pleasures, also then it is fine. I won't run after them. This is a very happy state of mind. This is the state in which we should come to and which Light on the Path says, first he exhausts pleasures or he wears out pleasures. This is called wearing out pleasure. If it is there, I'll dance, go for a party, enjoy. I come home, I don't sit down for 2 days and think about, oh, she was wearing that dress and I was wearing this dress and how much we enjoyed and when will be the next party. No, I enjoyed. I've put it behind me. Anything for that matter. Every pleasure. So we wear out pleasure. We are not dependent on it. If it comes, I enjoy. And secondly, when that happens, you begin to refine your desires. First it was any old books we were reading, sensational books. Now you look for a particular kind of books, particular kind of music, particular kind of hobby. And the great change which comes is, solitude is not scary. You welcome solitude. And you avoid going in the crowd. These are some of the things that will happen. And then we see we have made some small spiritual progress. But we have to watch this progress. The same thing about pain. We won't run away. We won't go to the temple and a mosque and say, please take this pain away. I will do this upvas. I will do this. I will do that. Pain has a value and it takes us long time to recognize that pain is a necessary teacher. When we have learned the lesson, the necessity ceases. And when it comes, we are able to take it in stride. So pain has place in our lives. And so to wear out pain would simply mean that now I'm not shaken. I know unexpected things will happen and I should be able to deal with them calmly. That stage must also come. Instead of complaining, grumbling, trying to run away, if I can take what life brings me, thinking that it's a good discipline which my own higher nature, the God is not out there, but within me, and wants this child to grow up. And thirdly, people have this idea about spiritual life, and that means a particular thing that they have in mind. And here in our philosophy we are told, what is spiritual life? Does it mean that therefore it's not more for me to spend all the time doing my home duties? Someone had to write to a master of wisdom. In those days through H.P. Blavatsky there were letters sent to master and letters received from the master of wisdom. And one student thinks that what is spiritual life? It means reading philosophical, theosophical books, reflecting on them, ideating on them, discussing them, understanding, and meditating a little. That is what is spiritual life. So he is writing. My last year went in performing my family duties. Answer comes from the master. Do you think a small thing that your last whole year was spent in performing family duties? But what cause, great cause for reward, and what better discipline. Your family duties give you opportunity to get reward from the law which works. And it gives you opportunity to discipline yourself. How many times have we thought that we when we do our little household duties, the routine things, which we really want to get over with and do our study or do our reading or do this or that, they are the real foundation of spiritual life. And that's why Master says that all those men and women who are caught up in performing the little duties of life, through which they are able to make little sacrifices, and also they are able to show loving kindness in a small way, they are fitting themselves now for larger duties. This is very important. It is very important that all the time, and especially our times, where whether it is a job or any work we do, we want something which people are going to appreciate, or for which we are going to be appreciated. We want something which is having a big name, something which is spectacular, something big, not these ordinary things. But here it is just the opposite. Something for which nobody will notice you do that. If your job at home is to sweep the floor, or to cook chapatis, or to clean bathroom. Sometimes some households and some families have distribution, excellent distribution of work, where everybody has their share. And when you do that, you have taken a step. And as this conversation between the sage and the pupil is also very eye-opening. The sage is telling the pupil to do some work, and the pupil says, look, I'm very happy to do whatever you ask me, but please don't give me a repetitive thing. And he smiles and says, look around you. What do you see in nature? The sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. The stars follow their path every day. There are ebb and flow of tide in the ocean every day. If they were not doing their repetitive duty, would the universe be upheld? And you are saying you will not do the repetitive duty? This we all have to learn to. It's very irksome, no? Same thing. Sometimes those who are doing kachra and all, they look at other people sitting on table and chair and writing and never having to bend down and say, I also one day want to be like them. Good, you have that ambition or aspiration. But there is no duty small. In fact, it is the small plain duties of life. A reading said, it is through small plain duties of life done carefully and cheerfully that you are making progress and you are fitted for the higher duties. If you can't do small work with complete attention, he says at one place, as if your life depended on it. Imagine doing kachra in the house and think, my life depends on it. Give your whole to every task. This is the way we make spiritual progress. And in fact, he goes to the extent of saying that there are daily initiation. Except for that writing, the student has never come across such meaning of initiation. We have all heard about diksha. They say guru gives diksha to the chela, and it's a big affair, so to speak. That happens. And here Mr. Judd says, there is initiation at a fixed time, and there are daily initiation. What are these daily initiation he's talking about? Daily, when wherever I am, at home, in the office, in the society, on the road, if I as a citizen, as a family member, as a colleague or as a worker in the office, if I wholeheartedly do my duty, which is routine or as the occasion demands, without my knowing, I'm initiated. I've taken one step forward, and he says, you are not aware of it. If there is lot of vexation, trouble, problems around, and if I keep my calm, there is a minor initiation and I don't even know. So all the behavior, and we are tried the most in the unexpected. I never expected this and it happened. And how much of the hullabaloo, this was unexpected. But if you kept calm, there is an initiation. So, this is what? It's a very, very small steps we are taking And it's nothing spectacular that is required. It's a big term, spiritual life and spiritual progress. But it is done in our daily routine. And the last point we would like to make is about what Sri B.P. Wadia says. And this is again very, very much applicable to all of us. That there must be a good combination of head, heart and hands. There are those who will also always want to do the work which is physical. There are those who will always say, intellectual work. Don't expect me. You please take that file over there. I will not touch that file. I won't do this. So there is some back of the mind superiority some inside thing that the intellectual work is what should be done. And for other people, it is devotional, it is more of the emotional help they want to give. And he says, none in their isolation are going to do. You can just divide these three, head, heart and hands, into the three ways the Gita is talking about. Path of knowledge, path of action and path of devotion. What is that devotion but my effort to purify my emotions? What is the path of action but my willingness to do, maybe for many days, only a menial work if it comes to that? And what is this jnana marga but my readiness to exert my intellect and understand and not feel lazy? So the combination is going to work wonders. It goes without saying, the path which is of action will give you good health according to Wadiaji, and the path which is of purifying your thoughts will give you good character. And if you purify your emotions, it gives you happiness. So keeping that in mind, we know what constitutes spiritual progress. We would carry with us as a summing up of wonderful words from someone who has already done the combining of the three, head, heart and hands, William Quant Judge. He says, it is in and through the incidents of daily life, in work well done, in duties thoroughly performed, that we today can most readily make progress in the higher life. Slow progress it may be, but at any rate sure. These are stepping stones to better things. We advance most rapidly when we stop to help other wayfarers. We receive most when we sacrifice most. We attain to the largest measure of divine love when we most unselfishly love the brethren. We become one with the Supreme most surely when we lose ourselves in work for humanity. Altruism is an integral part of self-development. If you want to progress, you see for other people's happiness and try to make them happy, and you will in turn definitely be happy. This is the last item of platform work. After that, we request you all to linger a while and greet each other as should. So.